Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Most experts don't have an expertise problem. They have a visibility problem, me included. Now they've got results, clients and knowledge, but if the market can't see it, they stay the best kept secret. Now by the end of this episode, you'll understand how to turn your expertise into market authority using story, strategic positioning, and what Marley calls authority assets, the kind of content and experiences that keep working long after the campaign is over. Now today I'm joined by my really good friend Marley Jacks, a brand strategist, storyteller, and creative force helping expert founders become market authorities. Marley has built a powerful presence on YouTube, and through her work with the titans of industry and the stage book model, she helps founders use stage, story, and book to create authority, attract inbound buyers, and stop relying on endless content and cold outreach. Marley, welcome to Hacks and Hobbies. Hey. So excited to have you here.
So fun to hang out with you today.
Yes, yes. So fun story. We both met in our good friend Jim Beard's show that he put together way back in the pandemic. And I was like, oh my God, this is so much fun. So I've been following your journey and I'm so excited that we get to do this episode together. So Marley, your page or your expertise, your Titans of Authority says that expertise doesn't create authority if the market can't see it. And I feel that very deeply because even though I have this authority in being the home studio architect, not a lot of people know about it. So talk to me, why do so many brilliant experts stay invisible, me included?
Yeah, a lot of times it's like the cobbler's shoes kind of thing, right? Like they have this expertise and they're so good at it, but more people need to hear about it. And that's like the biggest thing that we hear from our leads, from our clients, is like, I am the best kept secret and I can serve these people better than my competitors, but not enough people know about me. And a lot of times people are like just so focused on the thing that they're not as focused on the traffic. And so we wanted to solve that problem for people, that how can we let people stay the talent and build the marketing system around them so that we can help with the traffic and the distribution and they can just like focus on their expertise, which that might be, you know, saving marriages or helping people to get into their healthiest state or to teach people how to grow their businesses in other ways. So that's our big thing, is like, we want to keep people the talent and let us be the marketers.
It's almost like you're letting them stay in their zone of genius as marketed by our good friend Gay Hendricks in the book, The Big Leap. That book actually changed my life because it switched the switch in my brain, or it, you know, turned an idea in my brain like, wait, I have certain expertise and I don't need to be doing these other things that I'm incompetent at. And that's what you're really good at. You're bringing those expertise that you've been so good at for so many years in marketing, all the things that you're doing, like, let's bring the expertise, you stay the expert. Now, Marley, talk to me, what's the difference between being good at what you do and being positioned as the authority?
Well, it reminds me even what you were just saying about like being in your zone of genius. And there's a difference between your zone of genius and your zone of excellence. The zone of excellence is the stuff that like, you're good at, you can do it, but it's not like where you really thrive. And so, yeah, to be positioned as, people will call it like the category king or the top of your industry, the titan of your industry, it can make your competition really irrelevant. That we want it to be that when someone thinks about your industry, like your name is synonymous with that industry, or even that people can describe you even without knowing your name. Like that's good branding. Like if I say to you, who's the really ripped guy that wears muscle shirts and flannel and like has a cool, you know, goat mustache, or you know exactly who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. His name.
So we want to be able to position people like that, that even if they don't know who, it's like that person that does that thing, that's the go-to, that people, your name is synonymous with what you do.
So it's almost like when you say, hey, Google that, or give me a Kleenex, or, you know, those words are synonymous to, you know, the thing that you do. Nobody ever calls it a tissue paper anymore, or nobody says, hey, search that on the interwebs. They're like, no, just Google it.
Google it, yeah. Or ChatGPT it now, really.
Or ChatGPT it now, right? Use the AI agents and whatnot. Yeah. So talk to me, where do expert founders waste time trying to prove themselves? Because they might be building one website, they might be publishing multiple books, or being on a ton of podcasts as a guest. Where are they going and what are they doing? You know, where are they wasting time?
Yeah, we call it the uniform problem, where people, they can be creating content and they're doing all these Instagram reels and TikToks and whatever. And it's like, you know that volume is really important, but also pay attention to how, like, you could say something in a tweet or on an Instagram reel, but if it's said in a book or said on a stage, that's a very different uniform, right? My husband, yeah, Stephen, gives this example of, like, if someone comes to you and tells you this, you know, this news, this something that happened in your community, but then if a police officer comes to you and tells you, it holds a lot more weight because of the uniform that they are wearing. And so doing stages, doing books, it carries a different uniform. And I was talking to a gentleman yesterday that he's like, even just having a book, even just being on stages, even if people didn't read the whole thing or they weren't the ones in the audience, it increases the credibility. And it's like, yeah, having a book is almost like having a PhD in that subject. So you are trustworthy. Of course, we want people to read the book, and the people that do become our hottest leads, and the people that come to the sales calls that they're not even really sales calls, they're like enrollment calls because they've consumed so much information and have spent so much time with you.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's something that my friend Michael DeLon mentioned. You know, he's a paperback expert. He talks about books as being your, it's not just a calling card, it's your business card that people learn and they're like ready to buy from you because they've read everything that's in your mind through that book.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the people that end up coming to the calls or the events or whatever, they're the ones that, like, they've consumed so much that if they can repeat your own content back to you, yeah, like, you know that you've got a hot lead there.
Absolutely. So talk to me, what does it look like when someone is treated like a commodity instead of a market leader?
Oh, isn't that so unfortunate that, like, you know that you have this offer, but you have to convince people that you're like, oh, but this is, I can do this for you. And you kind of go through the stack instead of just like, it's the best thing when we can turn the direction of, you know, as entrepreneurs, when we first get started, we have to get into business and we have to hunt for leads. But if you build the right authority, that arrow turns and the direction can turn that people are seeking you out. Mm. Of course, that's still, you still have to create consistent content and be sharing your message out there. But when you know that you have the answer, but you don't have the authority, that mismatch there is the uniform problem.
So what you're saying is that expertise alone is not enough, and that authority requires visible proof. And when people have that two things combined, it can essentially make inbound marketing work for them.
Yeah, well said. And it's so frustrating. I know we've all probably experienced a competitor that we know isn't as good, or maybe they're even newer and they're less experienced, or you hear that they're not serving the clients the way that you could. And the only reason why they had the opportunities more than you did is because they were just louder about it.
Yeah, that's something that I am not. I can be loud. I have 4 kids, but I try to keep my voice, you know, to a controlled level because there's so many kids to control. But so Marley, that's the trap. They keep creating content, but they're not creating authority. So let's talk about the assets that actually shift perception. And what's cool is I've been on this journey of, you know, written a few books. I'm like, how do I become that category king? And I'm learning little pieces here and there. But again, I'm not an expert in marketing. So I'm so glad that I get to talk to you about this. So talk to me about the website, the Titans of Authority talks about using a stage and book together. Why are those two assets so powerful for positioning?
Yeah, we created a model called the stage book, and the stage book is what can help to create someone and turn them into a titan of their industry. And so how this works is instead of you know, so many people will be so intimidated by that blinking cursor on the blank screen of like, I got to write a whole book. How do I get what's in my head onto paper? And often it's not, you know, you hear about writer's block. Mm-hmm. Writer's block isn't when you don't know what to say. It's when you have too much to say and you're just like, where do I put this? Yeah. And so the way that we help our authors write their books is by first doing an event with them. We just do it in a 2-day workshop format. So that also relieves the pressure of like, oh my gosh, I have to do this huge event. Like they start thinking like, you know, Funnel Hacking Live size or something huge. And we like to say small event, big profit, like 25 to 100 people is fantastic. It can also be virtual. But what happens is every presentation that you've done basically turns into a chapter of the book. And with AI these days, like it's so easy to be able to pull the recordings and get you a draft of the book, because it's so much easier to edit a draft than to write a non-existent draft. And so then what also happens is at this event, that event turns into, I mean, the biggest asset from that event is the book that will be created from it. Mm-hmm. But you also have a live audience that just spent 2 immersive days and are getting a transformation, which then they can leave testimonials to share what kind of like what changed in their lives over those 2 days. You have testimonials, you have stage B-roll, you have the clips that can turn into content that can then promote the book when it's out. And of course, you can also pitch at that event. And the pitch can, you know, get more people into your programs. It can get more beta, you know, customers to be able to support the transformation that you're teaching in this book. We then create the book funnel for the book, which, you know, my husband, Steve Larson, is, I'll brag for him. I would say that he's one of the amazing top 3 funnel builders in the world. He would never say that himself, but I always say that about him. He's built many book funnels for many books that you have read. and so having the book funnel is a way that people are going to come into your system, come into your CRM. We have a sales team that closes on the back of them. Now, not only that, is we also build a companion course for every single book. So even if someone doesn't come through the book funnel, if they find it on Amazon, which is great, they will still come through a free companion course that we give them, which is going to warm people up, still lead them to sales calls. And like I said, when they've consumed that much information, they often come to these sales calls like hot, ready, like agitated. They know the problem. They know that we have the solution. And a lot of times we kind of tease saying like, these are like enrollment calls. They're not as much convincing sales calls because you've positioned your authority right there. So it turns into a flywheel, because when you have the book, it gets you more sales calls. When you have a book, it gets you more speaking engagements. The book gets more people to hear about you, which brings people to your book, which gets people into the companion course, which gets people into sales calls, which gets people into your program. Then people talk about it. And then you get more stage presentations and book. Like it just becomes this flywheel that just keeps going. Growing.
Yeah. I love that. And you know, Marley, books are such a foundational thing for us, right? I'm reading a book to my 4-year-old every night, right? It's like, hey, read me a book. It could be the same book read 2 times, 3 times at the same time. He's very content with that. And because we are taught through stories and through books at such a young age, it definitely holds that authority that can turn people into clients just through that process. So it's not about the writing a book just to say you wrote one, essentially, right? It's about turning your expertise into a framework people can understand and buy into. And like you said, doing that webinar or doing that seminar, it could be virtual or in person, is number one, they showed up because the content that's going to be in that webinar is what they want to learn. So now they're even more engaged into it when they say, hey, oh my God, there's a book available now. Get me into that.
Well, you mentioned something really important there about like you are teaching your frameworks. And what better way to really solidify your frameworks than to teach it to a live audience first? Mm-hmm. When Steve, my husband, was working at ClickFunnels, he was Russell Brunson's right hand for many years. When they were writing the whole .com secrets, expert secrets, one of the best ways that they that they solidified that curriculum was by teaching it live and getting the feedback and getting the questions that people in the audience were asking. Well, what about this? Oh, great. Okay, we're going to add that into the framework, or we're going to explain that better in the framework, so that when they're writing the book, it's so much easier because like they've really solidified it. So working on the book is like also working on you. You're working yourself kind of at the same time to solidify these frameworks and get so clear on it. Yeah. While also getting the market feedback and the testimonials and the transformations, which then makes it easier to write the book to have case studies that you can share.
So one question for you, what if somebody's already written a book? How would your system work for them? Because I'm in that boat right now.
Great. Yeah, we still build the ecosystem around it. And we get that a lot, that people are like, I wrote a book. Now what? You know? So having the right book funnel is one thing. And it's not just like a lead magnet, click here, put in your email, I'll send you the PDF. Like there's lots that goes into a book offer, a book bundle. And then also the companion course, because we like to say no lead left behind. Even if they purchased it on Amazon, well, you don't get the leads, you don't get the email list from Amazon, but people buy the majority of their books on Amazon. So we totally understand that. The companion course will still lead into the sales calls and the whole ecosystem. So we build that, and then we do a book launch event. We actually just did one with Ryan Lee and Robert Allen, which I mean, they incredible book. It's called Retire in 10 Years or Less. Like it is absolutely going to change so many people's lives. Already has thousands of people have gotten the book or going through the system. And so Ryan already had his book written, created. And so he did his book launch event with us. We built the book funnel and all of that. And at the time, he only had 5,000 people on his email list. So with ads, with the distribution, with all the ways that we drove traffic, he sold 4,000 copies of his book, had really awesome book bundles that people could buy these book bundles. So that also helped him to get to bestseller on Amazon, which when you're bestseller on Amazon, more people find you organically. Like, see how the flywheel just keeps growing.
Just keeps going.
At the event, they pitched their $5,000 offer, made six figures from that. And then what's cool is what happens with that is like, we have the recordings from this event now. That can either become upsells in the funnel. We can also evergreen that event so people can still keep streaming it every month, keep selling more books, keep getting more people onto sales calls, which we have done. We also drive traffic to the book funnel, which depending on the day, sometimes they get 3 sales calls, sometimes they get 9 sales calls. Mm-hmm. And then also like Amazon, their sales on Amazon are incredible. Ryan does an amazing job at doing podcast tours, which is another great way to just keep plugging the book. And if people don't go to the book funnel, if they go to Amazon, we still collect that lead.
Yeah.
And the flywheel just grows.
This flywheel just keeps growing. Yep. The money keeps going in the right places.
Yep.
And the authority keeps building, and not just that, right? Also their confidence. The confidence keeps climbing. Oh my God, people are actually resonating with that. They're leaving reviews. They're sending emails and they're sharing with other people. There was one principal, I got to meet James Clear of Atomic Habits, right?
So good.
And he's standing there, you know, talking with Nathan, trying to figure out what they're going to talk about. And then there's principal that comes over. She's like, hey, I want to talk to you and I want to thank you. Because she gives his books to her students at graduation.
Wow.
I'm like, holy smokes. Like, the best. Like, he's done some amazing things. Now, something that a lot of people are scared of, and I don't know about you, but I'm pretty scared of my founder story. But what makes that founder story powerful enough to create marketing authority? Like, does that come up at all? Like, are people thinking about that at all?
Do you mean like your origin story? Like how
origin
story,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, how it came well, tell to me be, more or, about that. Like, what makes you nervous about sharing that?
You know, there's a lot of person, there's a lot of person things. Like, there's a lot of things that, like, oh, who's going to be interested in that kind of story? Like, you know, people think about that. You know, I'm the oldest of 6 siblings. I never really talked about me. It was always about serving others. So sometimes it's hard to tell your story and hard to be that guy standing in the corner like, hey, come listen to me kind of thing.
Yeah. And you know who's going to resonate with that? The person who is also looking for permission to share their story and wondering That's if true. It matters.
You're right.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, I think about some of the times in my career where I've shared stories that I was like hesitant to share, some of them being my divorce. Like I went through a divorce in 2019, 2020, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so personal. This is so vulnerable. Yeah. People can have opinions on this. People might not like me if I share this. And I also, I don't want to be Marley the divorce girl. Like that's not what my brand is. I don't want that to be who what I'm known for.
Yeah.
And certainly there are people that will give opinions, but you're not creating your content for them.
No.
And what it ended up being, I can say this looking backwards, but at the time it's like, you just gotta keep walking towards the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't know how it's gonna turn out. But it ended up being a story of perseverance because I was sharing that I was going through something hard and challenging and a heartache that no one ever hopes for in their life.
Yeah.
And regardless if someone else is watching that they are going through a divorce or not, people are going through tough times and they could say, huh, I'm going through something challenging and I still have a, you know, a business dream that I'm going after. And if she can still show up and be vulnerable, then maybe I can too. You know, it's the maybe I can too of if someone can share this, what permission does it give them? And when you hear it like that, it's kind of like, I mean, it's a moral obligation. You got to get out of your own way and think of the other people that need you.
I agree. And that's something that I used to struggle with it a lot in the beginning, right? It's hard being in front of camera, being in front of so many people, sharing stories. It's gotten a lot better. But, you know, we are a work in progress, so it's getting better through and through. There was a gentleman, Simon Alexander Ong, talked about his mother passing away when he was, a young child at 17, and how he had to, you know, go through all of these emotions. And one thing that he put out up on the stage was, don't wait. And I was like, wow, why do we wait on so many things all the time? So I've taken that to heart, and I'm basically not waiting on literally anything, right? So I'm just moving as fast as I can with whatever's coming to my mind and, you know, what makes sense to me at least.
Yeah, so. I really think that there's something to, I don't know, opportunities, inspiration, that there's some kind of God or, you know, whatever you want to believe in out there, that if inspiration strikes you and you don't act on it, that opportunity still needs a vessel. And if you don't take the opportunity, someone else will. There is a story about Michael Jackson.
Yes, I was just thinking of that one too.
Such a good story, right? So in the middle of the night, he like calls his manager and his band and his people and whatever. He's like, we have to get to the recording studio right now. And it's like middle of the night, but it's like, it's Michael Jackson. So you're not gonna be like, go back to bed, we'll do it tomorrow. You're like, it's Michael Jackson, we're gonna do this right now. And they show up to the recording studio and he's like, I got this song, I got this idea, and we have to record it now or else God's going to give it to Prince.
That's right.
And that's right. I think that's like the best story of like, don't wait. And I've heard it's, I think that's, there's a book, Elizabeth Gilbert, I think it's called Big Magic or something like that. Mm-hmm. And she talks about this, that like, she had an idea for a book and she didn't act on it. And years later, someone else wrote it. It was like the same idea.
Yeah.
And I think that inspiration needs a vessel. And if not you, it's going to go to someone else. So do you want your name at the top of that list?
Exactly.
Then you got to act.
You're so right. And that's what I've been doing. Like any idea that comes to me, because I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of different conversations happening in the podcasting space. And as I'm building the software called Podglue, the operating system for podcasters, I'm getting ideas. And for the longest time, I was waiting. I'm like, no, do I really need it in here? But now I'm like, no, I do need it in here because I am going to use it if nobody else does, right? So
that's a great way to build for you first.
Build for me first. So thank you so much for sharing that story. And, you know, for whoever's listening here, you know, we are always looking for permission from a third party. But the first person that you need to give permission to is yourself. And that's the hardest thing to do. So hopefully listening to the story, they're a little more motivated in giving themselves a permission.
Yeah.
Marley, what's the difference between, as we're talking about this, you know, there's our personal stories, but then there's also other stories that we call it positioning story. Can you talk to us a little bit about what the difference might be between the two?
Well, I also think that positioning stories should have an element of you, your personal story in it.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen, my husband, calls this your bag o stories. That he's like, you just, it's kind of like we're carrying this satchel and you pick it up, and almost like the way that you put the arrow in the quiver to shoot mm-hmm. it out. It's like you go into your bag and you got them next to you at all times, that you can bring it up for whether you need to teach a certain principle. And here's the story that's going to make people like see it in their imagination.
Yeah.
Or the other way around, that you're like, I have this story that I know is going to make people feel something. And what is the moral of that story that I can send people away with? And so having the bag of stories, or the story inventory, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
as you start to, it's like we in our brains, we have this reticular activation system. So like if you're, you know, thinking about red cars, all of a sudden you're going to see red cars everywhere because mm-hmm. your mind is just looking for it. Yeah. And so if you start to get into this frame of mind of, I am aware of the stories all around me, anything becomes a story. Like you could just go on a walk and be like, I saw a bird do this thing and it reminded me of this thing. And then it turned into a story. And then that, here's the moral, the principle of this story. The things you overhear at the grocery store, or something funny that your kid said to you, or a memory of, you know, something that a teacher did when you were a child, like those mm-hmm. all become stories that become how we teach, how we learn. I mean, you said this earlier, that you read a book to your kids every mm-hmm. day. And those are stories that transform our minds and are really shifting culture. And people grow through stories. If they grew through like facts, step one, step two, step three, I think that would be pretty dry. It turns into the Charlie Brown teacher, like wah, wah, yeah. wah. So we need to grow through those stories. And I think the best content, the best books, the best interviews, like any kind of content that I'm consuming, is where you just get so wrapped up into a story. It's mm-hmm. like you don't know where it starts and you begin, because you're just like, you're enveloped in it. And yeah. My husband, Stephen, he's writing his book right now, Offer Launch, that's going to be coming out later this year. And nice. As I read it, of course, I get to see a little bit behind the scenes before it comes out. I'm reading it and I'm like, I forgot that he's teaching marketing in this, because it's so wrapped in beautiful stories.
Yeah.
And stories that I see myself in, even if I've never had, you know, a similar situation to whatever he's explaining that he went through. And that's what we want to have people experience when they consume any kind of content you create.
You're absolutely right. Those stories are what keeps our world moving, right? So you probably read the Bible, I've read the Quran, right? There's so many stories of the past. Like this mm-hmm. is what happened to Moses. You know, this is the story that happened to different prophets, you know, how they come about and what's the moral, like what are we all going after? But having good story and being able to tell it the right way to envelop the person on the other side is an art, right? It's you can't just come up with it. You have to be practicing that storytelling all the time. There's a gentleman, Matthew Dix, who wrote the book Story Worthy, and he mm-hmm. talks about how every day, just write down a little story in your book. So now at the end of the day, you have the quiver of, you know, story bag that you can pull stories yeah. out of. I was just listening to Conan O'Brien talk to, had Zach Galifianakis on his podcast. Conan needs friends. Apparently he does, because he's scaring everybody off. And they're telling stories after stories, right? They're telling stories after story, and how it pulls people in. And I was like, didn't even see you at the time. And I was like, oh my God, I got to go pick up my kid. But again, those stories have that power. Now, let's move on to a topic that is going to make more sense, because what a lot of people have been doing is they're grinding to create content. They're not, you know, spending time to market authority. So what should expert founders stop doing if they want authority instead of more content clutter? Because essentially that's what they're making.
Mm-hmm. Content clutter. That's a good way of putting it. So I feel like everyone has their ups and downs with content, where they're like, yeah, I'm on fire, I'm inspired. And then times where you're like, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. And mm-hmm. the content coach in me should tell you, like, you got to do what you, even if you don't feel like it, commitment doesn't yeah. care how you feel, you know, But I also, I get it. I've been through, I've totally taken breaks from content and then came back very inspired and had like a great sprint. Mm. And I think what I've learned from those ebbs and flows of content creation is that you have, kind of, we said this before, you have to create it for yourself first.
You have to create yourself.
Like, what inspires you that even if no one sees it, or if it only gets 2 likes and whatever, I'm not worried about the vanity metrics, that like you felt something writing it, that it inspired you because it's going to work on you as much as you work on it.
Yeah.
And I wrote something today that I was like, ooh, I, you know, this has an opportunity that could reach a lot of people. And I think I looked at it an hour later. I was like, oh, only 2 comments. That's too bad. I wish it got it went further. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, I really enjoyed writing that. Like, yeah. I felt it in my depths, you know, like it's something that I felt inspired to write. And so when I create content, I want to create content that I have fun with, or it moved me in a way, and that becomes contagious for other people. And of course, there's amazing AI tools that we can be using. Like, I actually, I have a Claude agent that every day will look at the news, at whatever's trending or whatever's topical. And it knows my voice and what I like to speak to, and it'll give me 3 options for a script or an angle to be able to go on based on what's trending that day. So like, I love Hollywood, I love movies. So I think recently it was like, hey, you know, Devil Wears Prada came out and it made this much money and it made more than when the first one came out. And here's the lessons from it. And it's like, cool, it was really topical. And I like to speak to things like that. And because it's top of mind, that has an opportunity to, you know, maybe reach further. I also think doing green screen reels are one of the best kinds of content strategies that you could use. If all you do every day is just like have a green screen image up behind you of like a headline or a news article or a video that went viral recently, and you reporting on it, sharing a lesson, sharing a takeaway, sharing an opinion, do a green screen challenge for like 30 days and see if that doesn't grow your following. And it's not even that you, there's 2 things that it does. Like you are, you're kind of siphoning authority from something that already has authority, but then you're also layering your own on top of it, that you have credibility to speak to it.
You're absolutely right. And I have not done those green screen videos yet, but Gary does talk about that a lot. He said every single day, just do one in your industry, in your topic, and just talk on it, right? What's going to hurt? You know, you're just sharing what's in your mind about the topic, and having a Claude agent running and giving you some new ideas that you're probably not actively looking for is an excellent idea. Now, let's land this with the person listening who knows they've got the expertise, but they haven't built the authority around it yet. Marley, for the expert founder listening who has results, clients and knowledge, but still feels invisible, what do they need to do first?
Yeah, they need to put on a new uniform. And sure, it can be
the Superman suit.
Yes, get your cape.
Get your cape on. Oh my God.
I can tell you more volume, and that can be great, of course. But I think it's really, it's increasing the uniform through stages, through books, through podcasts. And it doesn't have to be crazy expensive, especially when you can work with publishers that, you know, there's some out there that what I will kind of throw rocks at is the publishers that they take your IP and they don't market for you. So like, great, your frameworks that you worked so hard on, you don't even own them anymore. And they only pushed it with like 1 Facebook post. That's please don't do that. But to be able to share your expertise, to get paid for defining the framework by speaking on a stage and having an audience, and then being able to turn that into a book that, you know, I would love for every book that we publish, that it's a perennial seller, that people keep coming back to it. And that's kind of our goal, that like, it's not just, you know, sometimes there's books, I'm sure you pick these up at conferences and stuff too, where you open it up and it's like so much blank space. You're like, there. This is a facade. We want this book to be something that people really like, they devour or they keep coming back to. And we pull that out of our clients by helping them kind of define their frameworks and then build the whole system around it, so that people know more than what's just in their head.
Absolutely. We got to pull that information out of our heads, because I think there was a book I read where he started with the most expensive places, or the richest place is a graveyard, because people died with their ideas in their heads when they could have been, you know, so much more.
Yeah.
And I just love, a book is so powerful because it can outlive you, it can outlast you, but it also builds out authority. That's why authority is so close to the word being an author. And the first book that I read that changed my mind was literally called Authority by Nathan Barry. And he's talking about, you know, as growing up, as developers, as designers, as whatever it is, we're reading books in schools from other authors that help us learn the expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So to become that expert, you got to have that, your content in a book. And I just love that you've created a really simple expert process that people can go through and not be the secret anymore, or the best known secret anymore.
Yeah.
Marley, thank you so much. Where should people go to learn more about Titans of Industry, the Stagebook model, and your work?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, you can go to titansofindustry.com. You can also go to thestagebook.com. And feel free to reach out on Instagram. Instagram, I'm the only one that responds to my DMs there. So if you're ever like, is this really Marley? It's really me. Send me a message on Instagram or check out my YouTube channel. Also look up Marley Jacks.
Perfect. Marley, thank you for this conversation. You reminded us that authority isn't built by being louder. It's by making your expertise visible, structured, and unforgettable. And to everyone listening, stop being the best-kept secret. Build the asset, tell the story, take the stage, and keep turning your passions into purpose. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much, Marley.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.